In a league of its own.
On the ball with Brett Early on Dublin City FM. First for Dublin Sport, Dublin Sport.
A couple of weeks ago at the Irish Cycling Awards, I caught up with Stephen Roach. Here's what he had to say to me on the night about his induction into the Cycling Ireland Hall of Fame and the year in general.
Stephen, you must get asked these kind of events all the time, but how much of an honour is it after all these years to be finally inducted into the brand new Cycling Ireland Hall of Fame?
It's very flattering, and I mean, I'm in there with a lot of very, very high profile people that are an awful lot for the sport in the country, and you know, it's maybe it's about time that that Irish cycling kind of recognised the ancestors of cycling, the backbone of cycling. And I mean, irrespectively of my own award, I mean, going back as far as Robinson, like getting in Peter Crinion then, and people I never heard of, but when you get a little citation on the side of what the people had actually done in those times, must have forget that wasn't like weren't kind of good roads in those days either. So they're all pioneers of our sport. It's very. I'm delighted with the nomination.
How much does it also mean to be here side by side by your son Nicholas, obviously one of the stars of Irish cycling at the moment, fantastic stage win at the Valletta this year. Do you take much pride from that, or do you look on as a father or as a kind of former cyclist or a coach, or what's the first and foremost in your mind?
I'm his dad, you know, and I look at him as proud as any dad would look on his son that has achieved what Nicholas has achieved, and I probably know more as to what he has achieved because I've been there myself, so I know how hard it is to get there. And it's even harder following in someone's footsteps. So I look on as being a proud dad, and you know, I'm delighted that he getting the limelight and coming along to an event like this. I mean, I don't do many of them. I just do the important ones. And 25 years on, this was an important one. So I was here 25 years ago. So I haven't been back much since. So it's nice to be back here again tonight with so many people, full house. And to witness all these different awards that are handed out tonight is great.
In terms of the future for Cycling Ireland, obviously the Giro d'Italia comes to town next year. We've Dan will be part of that. Nicholas hopefully will be featuring in that race as well. How great would it be to have an Irish winner at a stage here in Ireland next year?
Well, I mean, it's great to have the Giro coming here. It'd be fabulous to imagine one of the riders, Irish riders, riding it and heading up a team with Dan riding with Garmin. We'll probably have Philip Dignam lining up with Sky, Nicholas possibly now with Saxo Bank. So I mean, here we are.
Can you give us a little, is he likely to do, or do you know yet?
No, just don't know yet, but it's the signs are there that it could be, you know. There's there wasn't a no when Nicholas asked about it, and then we all know that Contador wants to ride to win the Tour and the Vuelta next year. He's not riding the Giro. So Nicholas is now a kind of a good kind of GC contender. So it means he can't ride the Giro, the Tour, or the Vuelta to ride for podium. Whereas they know they have to keep Nicholas happy, and to keep Nicholas happy, got to give him at least one podium shot. Also, Nicholas has a couple of years of a contract now, so it's the right time for Nicholas to try a different concept. Like, he's always gotten form in a second big Tour, which is the Tour of Spain, after riding Tour de France. So maybe if he rides the Tour of Spain, Tour of Italy, before Tour de France, maybe he might get better form going into the Tour de France. So there's a lot of angles there to look at. And Bjorn Riis is a very good technician. And he'll be looking at all those kind of things because he's basically backing on Nicholas for the future also, because Contador is actually getting a little on as well. So Nicholas has shown a lot of kind of promise this year. And I think that next year Riis will, I'd say, keep everything sweet. He has to put Nicholas in the Giro.
You're very involved in I suppose recreational cycling yourself nowadays in terms of doing the holidays. Have you noticed, is it noticeable that the increase in numbers actually participating in social cycling, recreational cycling?
It's absolutely amazing. Like, I mean, my business has never been going so good, and the whole profile of the cyclist is changing. Like, before, a cyclist was coming out looking for a low budget trip, where now people are coming out looking for a good quality hotel, good quality staff, and to be looked after. And they're even coming out with families. And whereas years ago, a cyclist would never think of bringing his wife on a cycling holiday for fear she'd get bored. Whereas now they're bringing their wives out. The wives are accepting their husbands are going to be in Lycra in the morning riding the bike, but they're also making the point of having their husband with them or their partner with them for the afternoon, and it's making a good family holiday. So the profile has definitely changed, and like the bike to work scheme was a great scheme. It's gotten people onto bikes. Those people now are getting into clubs, doing sportive events, and they're looking for cycling holidays or other events, other challenges to do. And going to a cycling holiday and riding 6 days or 6 days or seven, 6 days out of seven, it's a great good option, and it's a challenge for everybody.
Congratulations.
This is Steve. Thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
That was Stephen Roach there talking to me at the Cycling Ireland Awards a couple of weeks ago. Earlier in the week, I caught up with the founder of Cycle Against Suicide, one of the top sportives, 14-day event that ran around the 26 counties of Ireland. And next year, it's back and bigger and better than ever before. It's going to be the 32 counties around the country. I spoke with the founder of that movement, Cycle Against Suicide. Here's part of the discussion we had earlier in the week. We're speaking to Jim Breen, founder of Cycle Against Suicide, and I want to get on to the movement Cycle Against Suicide, Jim, because it's taken the Irish community completely unawares over the last 12 months, and I think it's helped push the whole discussion about mental health and suicide awareness and suicide prevention through the roof in the last couple of months. You can't go anywhere now without listening to people talking on the radio about mental health, and that's a very positive thing, but tell us where it all came from.
Yeah, so I guess Cycling and Suicide came as a reaction, as a response to when the Secret Millionaire program launched in September 2012. I was expecting briefly a degree of, what the hell do you have to be depressed about, you big idiot? You know, you've got good life and you know, doing well professionally, etc. Why would you be considering yourself to be battling with depression, anxiety, etc.? And I was expecting a degree of backlash and a degree of... and I was bracing myself for it. And I did get thousands of phone calls, letters, texts, mails, and not one of them said anything like that. They were all filled with love and with empathy, but even more so, they were filled with, how can we help? How can I help? And there was nothing at the time, briefly, for people to sort of help with. So the Cycling and Suicide was I like being able to influence things. I like being able to influence things that are predictive of making a difference. You know, there's no point in spending your life being just concerned about stuff that you feel, you know, paralyzed to make any impact on. So the idea of the cycle was just made all the sense in the world. It was just very much an opportunity for people to go shoulder to shoulder, to start talking, to start a conversation, but more importantly, to start laying, getting the message out to ourselves as much as anybody else, that it is okay not to feel okay, and it's absolutely okay to ask for help. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people talk about preaching to the choir. Well, sometimes the choir needs that, you know. Sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. The cycle, obviously, this year went through went around the island of Ireland and through 26 counties. Next year, you're going 32 county. Where can people register for the cycle, Jim?
Yeah, so registration is at www.cycleagainstsuicide.com, and the registrations are already flooded in. We had 2,500 people do the cycle last year, roughly, and we'll have 7,500 people do it next year. And it's just quite incredible. And we need, you know, a lot of support to do that. We had 1,200 bed nights given by women and men around the country this year. We're going to need 3,000 or 4,000 bed nights provided next year for our cyclists. So it's a big undertaking.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, and I did 3 days of the cycle last year, and it had a profound effect on me personally, and I suppose from a personal point of view, sitting in Belturbet, and I've spoken about this a number of times, both on the show and in other forums, in Belturbet, listening to Rob Carley, yourself, and Brezzy, and others over the next 3 days, or over the last 3 days of the cycle, talk about their experiences of mental health. I personally have suffered with mental health issues, and it was huge for me to realise that I wasn't alone and I wasn't the only person in that situation. I think that's very important that we share that, and we let people know that it's all right not to feel okay, and it is absolutely okay to ask for help. And that mantra that you keep repeating, and it hasn't changed from day one, I think is a huge testament to you and to the movement. And it is a movement, not a charity. Maybe you might explain that a little bit briefly, just the difference between, say, what you do and the likes of the Samaritans and Pieta House and Console and Aware that people will be familiar with.
Yeah, so so those organisations you mentioned, you know, they're all doing an incredible work, and they're joined by, you know, organisations like Suicide Awareness Dublin 15 and many other local service providers, volunteer groups doing amazingly important work and helping people at risk, and focused particularly at at-risk groups, whether it be postnatal depression or suicidal ideation or like aware's depression, or even, you know, particularly working with people who are bereaved by suicide, which is, you know, really important, console and living links. So that's the services they provide. What we do really is we signpost people to those services. We make sure that people know that if you need those services, it's okay to ask for help. And encouraging help-seeking behaviour, encouraging help-taking behaviour, is really, really important in the fight against suicide. And that's why it's a movement. So we don't set out to raise money. The money comes in, you know. Deliberately, we've said, look, we're not going to let money get in the way here. We're going to be as ambitious as we need to be, and we'll find the money to do it. But we're not going to, you know, be putting buckets in front of people in the public or letting money get in the way or having people feel that they've got to raise money to take part in a cycle. If you want to take part in a cycle, it's €40 to cycle for 2 weeks, to get 2 weeks accommodation, 2 weeks of meals. You know, it's probably kind of a euro a bed night is how it works out, or a euro a meal. And if you're unemployed or you're a student, it's €20 for those 2 weeks. And if you can't afford it, it's free. And we basically say, look, if you want to raise money on top of that, that's cool, but you don't have to. And if you really want to make a difference, you get the message out, you build that awareness, and you bring it back to your schools, to your workplace, to your clubs, to your homes. And that's really what our ask is. Our ask is to get the message out there.
And that was Jim Breen talking to me during the week on my Sporting Spotlight programme on Friday night.
In a league of its own.
On the ball with Preffy Early on Dublin City FM. First for Dublin Sport.